the Lord was giving me a message, working on something. I've learned that when I sense something and I start getting something and I start putting it together because I know summer's down the road, the Lord wants me to give something, and tonight's the opportunity, the time. And as I was preparing this, over a period of quite some time now, it's been interesting because everything, pastor's been preaching all around it. Pastor Frank come in and just was zonking all around it. The worship team tonight, you know, bless you guys. Those songs were right on line. You know, nothing is missing from that. And I just thank the Lord for that. I'm just going to offer a word of prayer. Father, we just pray that your divine will be wrought tonight. Lord, there's nothing that we can do, Lord, in ourselves. But Lord, we're trusting and believing on the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest tonight and to work through your servants. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and with verse 1 and 2. And I'm just going to read those two verses, and then I'm going to get my assistant to help me here. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God." Come see me. She's running away. Hi, sweetie. Oh, yeah, she's going to help me here tonight. She's going to help me tonight. You know, it's interesting that Scripture talks about running a race. Talks about running a race. And looks like she's wanting to run a race, too. So, talks about, said, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And if you were to turn to Psalms 139, you find a little story there about the fact of what that God has formed this little gal in her mother's womb. And before she even could do anything or knew anything or whatever, God knew her. And Psalms 139 tells us that God wrote a book all about her with all the days of her life in it. God had a plan for this little girl. And God has a plan for each one of you. And this little sweetie pie here God created and wrote a book about her. And in this book, I believe, where everything that God's plans were for her life. And this little girl has got some real exciting things ahead. She's just a little over a year old. And she's growing like a weed. And the one thing about this little girl, you know, God was really good about this. You know, when we were having parents, you know, we weren't just turned loose in the world. We had to nourish that little child. We had to feed it. We had to bathe it. We had to clean it. We had to teach it. And so, you know, God put mothers and fathers in our lives. And that's not all. We're going to find out as we get going a little bit here that God brings a whole lot of people and things into our lives. And this, do you know what? If you were to say, what is our responsibility? What's a parent's responsibility? This little girl has a plan that's all written in a book. Yes, it is. It's written in a book, and your job as a parent is to do everything in your power to help this child fit into that plan and purpose that God has for you. So mom and dad's job is to do everything they can to see that this little child is raised and will meet all the expectations that God has is written in the book. Okay? Our job as outsiders, so to speak, are to also help this child to do everything in our power to help this child be the person that God really wants her to be. Now, I'm just using this as an example. But every one of us, you know, has got a plan and a purpose for us. And this little girl is just kind of starting out on the journey. It's a race. The Bible calls it a race. And each one of us is on this race. So I'm going to give the sweetie pie back to her mom. There you go. Bye. Thank you for your help, sweetie.
Say thank you.
Okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When it talks about in Psalms 139, it talks about he wrote a book about each one of us. And I believe in that book is the will of God for us. Now, whether we ever fulfill that or not may be dependent upon us because we also, he gave a will. And so we can will to go against what his will is. So it's a matter of choice. But in any case, the situation is that there is a book written for you as an individual. God has a plan and a purpose for you, for your life. And, you know, we go around through life and we're trying to discover, what is the will of God for me? Well, the will of God is written in the book. And Pastor Frank preached so wonderfully this morning on the idea of really getting to know God and to seek His face so that we could hear from Him. Why do we want to hear from Him? Because He knows where we're going. He knows what it's all about. He knows the direction we're supposed to be taking. And to find that out is only going to be found when we seek His face. And so it's important that we do that. So this is a race that we're running. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses in chapter 12 there of Hebrews, they're talking about this cloud of witnesses that are mentioned in chapter 11, about men of faith. And we have these witnesses, and so we're to run this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, and I like this. You really think about it. What does an author do? He writes books. He writes books. And he's wrote a book about us. Now that's exciting. And you'll find out some other things too about this as we get going along. But he's not only the author, but he's the finisher. He's the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. You see, Jesus had to go through and run this race also. When he came down, God came down and became a man. He had to run this race that was set before him. And he was determined to do only what he saw the Father do. He was determined to say what the Father said. He did what he saw the Father doing. That was his job. And he completed it. And when he was on the cross, finally when he said the words, "It is finished," the work was done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he died and he gave his life for us. Now, I want you to think about this. What did he suffer on the cross? That was gross. This was God eternal. And look what they did to him. How they beat him up. He was half dead before he ever got to the cross. And then to be placed on that cross in such a cruel manner is what they did. And to die a death like that is not something that anyone would look forward to. But he did it. He did it because the joy that was put before him. What's that joy? It was you and I. He looking down till today, and he can see you as an individual. He can see you. And he did it with joy. He endured all of that with joy. And it should have been us that should have been on the cross, but he took our place. And he did it. The joy that was set before him helped him to endure all of that. Hallelujah. So there's a race that's set before us. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Also, a scripture I wanted to leave with you was Ephesians 1:6, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Frank preached on that one this morning too. But so he's the completer of the work. Hallelujah. He's not only an author, but he's a completer, finisher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, to succeed in this race, we need to follow the instructions. There's the instructions. Hallelujah. And you know, the Lord has helped us. He's been so gracious to us. He didn't just turn us loose in the world and, okay, you're on your own now. Just kind of find your way on through and hopefully everything will go okay. He doesn't do that, does he? He works with us every step of the way. He never gives up on us. He's always on our case. You know, I tried to get away from my mom sometimes. You know, I tried to do things that I wanted to do and it seemed like I couldn't get away from God. Why? Because she was praying. Amen. Don't ever discount the prayers of your parents. They're powerful. They're mighty. They're strong. Hallelujah. So to succeed in this race, we need to follow directions. What are we doing? Do you know where we're headed? Do you know our purpose? Who are we? You know, we're in this world and it's a strange thing and we sometimes wonder, what are we doing here? What's going on? You know, things don't seem to make sense from down here. But there's a lot of good things to look forward to. Yeah. About knowledge, is knowledge bad? If you have the right kind of knowledge. If you have the right kind of knowledge. Isn't that bad? Discover some of these things, we need to start kind of like from the beginning. First of all, this Jesus that did all this stuff for us, he is declared to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And it goes on, they said, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. There's some interesting thoughts there. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, it's good to have knowledge. It's good to have revelation and knowledge. But we also need wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge. We need wisdom to know what to do with that knowledge. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. You're not talking about these two things. Frank was talking about some of this stuff this morning. You know, the eyes of our understanding are the eyes of our heart. Eyes, you know, we need eyes to see. These natural eyes, the world out here doesn't see what we see. They do not see what we see. Don't ever go to the world and listen to what they have to say about God. They don't have a clue. They're talking in the natural, and the natural man does not understand the things of God. So it takes the eyes, takes the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened. You know, it brings light so that we can understand the things of God. You know, God is a big God. He's a deep God. And yet it's so simple. The Bible said, we need to become like a child to come into the kingdom of heaven. We have to be like a child. And many times I say, Lord, I'm just a child. Show me what you want me to do. Teach me what you want me to learn. And I found out it's just helpful just to come as a child. And don't try to figure it out in your mind, because it just doesn't figure. Two and two doesn't seem to add up to four, and you know, when it comes to spiritual things. Two and two can sometimes maybe add up to 100. Who knows? You know, God spreads things out, you know. So we need our eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I would think about like this, you know, our inheritance in him. But imagine his inheritance in us. You know, when he created mankind, there was something totally unique about it. There's something totally different. It was nothing like the angels, nothing like a lot of other things that was going on. We were a unique creation. We were made in the image of God. We were made like God. And his goal and his purpose was to be able to have fellowship with us. He created us for fellowship. And he loves. He's a good God. He loves to give things. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour out his blessings. And sometimes what it is we're the ones that are keeping that from happening. You know, we need to get in a place where we can receive his blessing. We need to get there. And so we need to understand these things that he's talking about here. And Paul was praying that this prayer, that we would learn this, that we would know him. And then, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and sealed him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You talk about power. Power that would raise a dead body to life. Hallelujah. Jesus died for us. And the power of God hit him and brought him back to life. Hallelujah. That's power. And that power is available to you and I. That power is given to you and I. I think it's over in 1st or 2nd Chronicles. It talks about the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the earth so that he might show himself mighty in behalf of them whose hearts are fully committed to him. You know, when we make that decision to accept Christ and we receive him into a life, into our lives, all power in heaven is available and at our disposal to help us to walk in the walk that he wanted us to walk in. We are not without power. We're not feebly just making our way along. God has empowered us. And our problem, we're trying to figure it out in their head. How does this work? You know? And it doesn't work. It has to be the eyes of our understanding. It has to be a spiritual revelation. The Holy Spirit's got to make it alive to us. And that's one of the things that we've been doing. That's one of the things that we've been seeking the Lord here. We've been experiencing the Lord's presence so that we can learn to walk in that walk, so that we can grasp the truth of all this that pastor's been preaching on us so faithfully from week after week after week. And it seems like it just goes over top of us sometimes. We just don't seem to really be able to grasp it. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to touch our lives and enable us to see what it's really all about. And he's put all things under his feet. God has put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we're the body of Christ. Christ died for us. Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And he's got great things in store for us. And all we got to do is learn how to walk in it. All we got to do is grasp that, believe it, step out in faith. Because God expects us to do everything we do, it is by faith. So it has to be by faith. We have to step out in faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here we go. You know, a lot of times we're trying to figure things out from our perspective down here. You know, things don't line up. Things aren't coming together. You know, we have our problems. We have our difficulties. We're trying to figure it out from down here. And it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Don't you think it's time that we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and take our position that He has for us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
And if we get up there, then we find out what it's really, you know, all about. We get that revelation, that fresh revelation He gives us as we seek Him and walk up there, step up there, and this whole world looks different from that perspective. All of those things that we worry about, all of those things, our cares, all of those things, they almost become inconsequential in comparison with what the revelation is that He gives us. We're looking at things different. Because we're not destined to be losers. We're not destined to lose. We win. Hallelujah. Because God wins. The Bible speaks about being hid away in Christ, in God. Now that's pretty secure. That's pretty secure. How's anybody going to get you out of that position? I don't care what they do to this body. It doesn't make any difference. They cannot touch the real you. And this body may perish. This body may die. This body might be, who knows what happened. But we are with the Lord forever. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got a lot to look forward to. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that hinders us. Hallelujah. Seems like, when you think about it, okay, parents, God gave people, parents, to raise children. For us, God gave Jesus. We were lost. We were undone because of Adam's sin. It wouldn't have been Adam. It would have been me when I came along. Because of that sin, we were hopeless. There was no hope for us whatever. And God gave Jesus. God gave His only Son, who came down and became a man. So it's through man that He brings the victory. We talk about the first Adam. He goofed up. Brought us all into the slavery to sin which we're in. But the second Adam, Christ, was placed down here. And hallelujah, He restored what Adam stole, what he lost because of what he did. So God gives gifts. And wouldn't you know it, that He also gives gifts to the church. Ephesians chapter 4. I like to call them people gifts. You know, there's gifts of the Spirit. They're things, they're powers, empowerments, or whatever, that can come upon anyone that God, that the Holy Spirit wants to use. It comes severally as He wills. But then God has some people gifts. And those people gifts, found in chapter 4, verse 11, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It said, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." Now see, God gave a people gift too with His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we can depend on Him. He's also given us the power of the Holy Spirit. But he's also given us people gifts. These are special people that God has empowered to do a particular job. One of them is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We don't want to treat these gifts lightly. Why? Because they're given by Christ. Jesus gave these gifts to the church. I remember, Gail would remember this, we were down in Albany, and a great man of God preached down there. He gave a wonderful message about almost missing out on the blessing of God because he didn't like the package that it came in. And you know, God has given us a pastor, wonderful pastor. Don't miss out on the blessing of God because you might not like the package that it comes in. It's still God's gift to the church. Christ's gift to the church. Christ's gift to the church. It's important that we recognize that as a gift. It's important that we don't belittle that gift. It's extremely important. He's given that gift for purpose. And we go on down here, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. What have we been doing here lately? He's been talking about it. He's getting us to the place here where we're getting ready to step out. He's getting us to the place here where we start walking in this assignment that God has given unto us as individuals and as a church. Yes. It's an assignment that God has given us. And his job is to prepare us, is to help us in that assignment. He's training us, he's teaching us, he's showing us what we need to do. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, and from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we're talking about knowledge. We have to have knowledge. Yes. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. We've got to know about him. We've got to learn about him, about Christ. We've got to know what our position is. When the devil comes to us, we got to know who we are. He's got to know who we are. And if he doesn't recognize anything significant there, we'll be just like the seven sons of one Sceva that went to try to cast out a devil. And this guy tore them all up. Because they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, who are you? The devil needs to know your name. Amen. He needs to know you. You need to know yourself. And I'll make you a bet that if you don't think you're big enough, the devil's going to know that. If you don't think you're capable, the devil's going to know that. He's going to pick up on that right now. He knows where you are. He knows your position in Christ. And if we are walking in His power and in His authority, hallelujah, when we say go, He's going to go. Hallelujah. So this is it's just like the little child. Just like the little child. She's small. She's got a lot of growing up to do. She's got to mature. Now what would happen? We'd say, well, that's wonderful. She's so cute and everything. And just so wonderful and everything. But what would happen if 40 years later she was still like that? She was still so cute and everything. We'd say, whoa, something's wrong here. Why? Because she needs to grow up. She needs to mature. But you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians out there today. And I'm not saying here, but I'm saying there's a lot of Christians out there today that have just got inside the door. They're saved, just got inside the door, but they don't really want to go anywhere else.
That's right.
And you got some people that are shaving and they're still in their diapers. Yeah. They've never grown up. They've never grown up. They've never learned the importance that they needed to grow spiritually. You know, for us, you know, to grow, we have to eat the right kind of foods and we got to drink the right kind of liquids and all that, and all's fine and we grow. So what do? To grow spiritually. Oh, yeah. We got to get into this book, folks, you know. We got to hear the preaching of the word. We got to get involved in that. And then James said, you have to be doers of the word also and not just hearers only. You know, when pastor preaches a message, what we need to be doing is applying that message. You know, we don't just grow like here. Overnight, we're like this. You know, we grow little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we grow. And how do we grow? If you take food into your body and your body doesn't assimilate it, you're not going to grow. But if we take that word that is preached to us and we apply it to our lives and we step out and start doing what it says to do and start obeying that, we're going to find ourselves growing and we're going to find things begin to really happen. Hallelujah. Because we're not supposed to be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And I'll tell you, folks, there's people out there that the only word of God they hear is what somebody feeds them. They run over here to hear the word of the Lord. They run over here to hear the word of the Lord. But they never sit there and feed themselves. They never grow themselves. And there's a danger in that. That's why He's given us pastors, evangelists. Take advantage of them. Teachers, take advantage of them. Dig in, learn, apply it. You know, utilize it. And step out and believe the Lord. And that's what we're learning how to do. Step out and believe the Lord. Pastor Frank, I appreciated that message so much this morning about knowing and hearing the voice of the Lord. That is so important. We need to hear His voice. We need to, you know, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And to do the will of God, we've got to know His voice. You know, we've got to know that. We can't just go out here and start doing good things. You know, then we're only doing our own thing. Right. Then you get in a situation like it talks about in Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will make it into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And they'll say, oh, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. Wow. You know, and we did this and we did that. And he said, depart from me because I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. So see, we need to be caught away up into the heavenlies with Christ. We need to have that relationship with Him so that we can grow. And God has given us gifts. Hallelujah. And one of the gifts is pastors, evangelists, teachers. He's given us those gifts. That's so that we can grow up into Him. So that we can learn who we really are in God. You know, it's like Gideon. Here he was out there refreshing, hiding out from the enemy, you know. And the angel of the Lord comes up to him and said, "Behold, you mighty man of valor." What do you mean, me? You know? You know the story. He didn't know who he was. He said, "I'm the least of my family and the least tribe in all of Israel. What is there about me? How can I be anything?" You know, and we can have that idea, and the devil can come and tell you, "You're nothing. You don't have no ability. God doesn't care about you." But God always looks. He looks at what's in the book. What has He written about you? He's the author of the book. Amen. And He wrote it. He knows what His will is for your life. And He can look ahead in your life and He can say, "You are a mighty man of valor."
Amen.
Because that's what He's called you to be, and that's what He will empower you to be. And if you can just have the faith to grasp a hold of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And step out in that.
Amen.
And that's what He's looking for. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is right there. He said He's looking all over the whole world to see if He can find a person who's given himself totally to Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has submitted himself to God. Who's being obedient. And He's looking for that opportunity to help. He's looking for that opportunity to step in and make it happen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Beginning with verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." You know what's sad? Do you think about them? Their mind, they're futile. The futility of their mind. You know, things that seem important to them are so insignificant to what God is concerned about or what God is doing. And it says they're having their understanding darkened. And what does the God of this age do? He's blinded their eyes so that they might not get saved. He's blinded them. I know some people, I've watched them. You know what they do? Something comes along, everything. They just stick their head in the sand, pretend like it doesn't exist. Oh, like an ostrich. Yeah. They stick their head in the sand. It's like, ooh, you know. Boy, if they only knew what's coming down the road, what's coming down the pike. You know, we which are alive in Christ, hallelujah. We which are walking in heavenly places have got some great news for these people. Problem is, not all of them are going to listen. Not all of them are going to listen. Because God gave every one of us a will. And they're the ones that really choose to go to hell. Because the opportunity's there. There's a choice. You make it. Go this way or go this way. You want to go jump in the flames? There you go. Or you want to come and accept God? Here you go. The Bible said, "Narrow is the gate." Or, you know, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal." A lot of people aren't willing to go through that gate. They're not willing to go through that gate. I'd like to look at some Old Testament examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. This is interesting too, because, you know, here again, God gives a people gift. I'll call them people gifts tonight. He gave Moses to deliver his people Israel from out of Egypt. They were almost 400 by the time Moses was born. They were probably about 360 years. Most of that time as slaves in Egypt. And you know, us, we were born and raised in this world system. We were slaves to this world system. That's all we knew. Until God came on the scene and opened up our eyes so that we could see that there is life out there. But Moses was sent by God to deliver Israel from bondage. And so Moses was kind of like God's people gift to Israel. Verse 1 there in chapter 10 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. No, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." In Numbers chapter 16, there's a story, and I'm not going to go to it, but you can read it at some point if you'd like. There was a rebellion of Israel against Moses. Now see, Moses was God's person to deliver Israel. And Moses was faithful in doing that job. But they rebelled against Moses. And some people like Korah and some of the ones that they got together with, they decided that, "Who are you to be a leader? Any of us could lead this group of Israel. You know, who are you to think you are?" Well, let me tell you something. God came on the scene. He did not appreciate that. And before it was all over, he said, "Separate yourselves from Korah and his people." And he said, "If these people die by natural death, you can say that what I say isn't true. But if these people die by a death that you haven't seen before, with the earth open them up and swallow them alive in the pit, then you know that God spoken through me." And that thing happened. It opened up. They all, the tents, everything they had, went down in the pit, and the earth closed back up again. God does not take kindly to coming against his servants. And we need to be careful of that. We need to be aware. These are examples written for us, upon whom the end of the age has come. They have a lot of things that are mentioned here. Sexual immorality, 23,000 fell. And then when Korah and his people went down into the pit, then the very next day, the people rose up and complained against Moses. They said, "You're killing God's people." And God came on the scene then. If it wasn't for Moses' intervention, he'd have wiped out the whole batch of them. And immediately, a plague began in which 14,700 died in this plague. God does not treat that stuff lightly. He's got a plan and a purpose for us. It's important. We need to recognize that He is Almighty God. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's righteous. Verse 12 then says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say." Now see, one of the things too that happened there, they complained, they griped, they bellyached. They didn't like the food God gave them. "Oh, we missed the leeks and the melons and everything, and we loathe this bread that you're giving us." And they complained and complained and complained. God does not like complaining. God does not like complaining. You know, and sometimes we might feel like complaining, but it's not a good thing to do. We don't want to complain. We want to be thankful for what God has done. And if we want His blessings on our lives, we need to be thankful. Matthew chapter 11. Enter the rest of God. And this is really important. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes we go through life and it seems like we're just so wiped out. We're really beat down. And I sometimes wonder if part of the reason is that we're trying to do this thing in our own strength. We're trying to do this in our own strength. We're trying to make things happen instead of relying on God and walking in what God's doing. We're trying to do something, "God bless me and help me in this thing," when that's really not the way it should be. It's, "What are you doing, God, and help me to get into that." And He says, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, what we need to do is to lay down that yoke that we're packing around, that we're trying to make happen, that we're trying to bring about in our own strength. And we need to rely on His strength. And we need to rest in Him. Rest in Him. Yes. We need to cease from our own works. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray," where? "In their hearts." There's another scripture that says, "In their hearts they turn back to Egypt." It happened down here in their hearts. In their hearts they turn back to Egypt. It like they'd already made up their mind that we want to go back. in their hearts. And they have not known my ways. See, that is so important. We need to know the Lord's ways. That's why we read the book, so we can find out His ways. That's why we communicate with Him and talk with Him and get up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so we can learn His ways. And even His disciples who were walking with them, you know, at one point they said, "Lord, should we call down fire upon these people?" And He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." That's not the ways of God. He didn't come down here to destroy people. He came down here to help them and to lift them up and to bring them life. So we need to know the ways of God. "They have not known my ways, so I swore in their wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Verse 16. "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You see, they just... Remember when they came to the mountain? You know, when God came down on the mountain and God spoke and the people ran for their lives because they weren't willing to turn loose to their own sin. They weren't really willing and ready to come to God. And they told Moses, they said, "You hear what God's saying and you tell us what He said. And we'll be satisfied with that." So see, their heart wasn't right with God. Their heart wasn't, their hearts were far from God. They didn't know the ways of God. And they depended on someone else telling them how to live and what things to do. And there's a lot of people out there today that are doing just exactly that. Some people have never read the Bible before. Never read the Bible through. All they do is hear about it and everything. They talk like they know all about it and everything, but they don't know it. They've never even read it. So how can they know God? How can they know about God when they don't even read the book? This is our directions. This is our map. Hallelujah. This is the textbook. This is what we need to know. And everyone that was 20 years old and higher perished in the wilderness over that 40-year period. They all died. God took 40 years. Instead of smiting them all in one day, He just let them die off, just let them die off naturally over a 40-year period. And the only ones that went in, besides Joshua and Caleb, the only ones that went in the promised land were the children that was less than 20 years old. They were the ones that entered into the rest of God. Hallelujah. And they didn't do it perfectly, but they did enter in. Says Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 9, said, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give account." So there's a rest that has to happen. In order to really do the works of God, I believe we have to enter that rest. If God's going to use us to do things, we've got to enter the rest. And if we're complaining and if we're, you know, and going through all the things that they're talking about here, if we don't If we follow that kind of thing and we don't enter into his rest means that we're ceasing from doing our thing. Now we're doing his thing. And this yoke that he puts upon us, that he talks about in Matthew 11, is the yoke where he's walking together with us. We're doing it together. He's the one really that's doing it, but we're yoked up with him and we're accomplishing his works and his power. We're resting from our labors, from trying to make things happen, from trying to do things that we're really not supposed to be doing. I think sometimes we take on assignments or take on jobs that God really hasn't called us to do. And we get all bogged down and we get wiped out and we go through physical problems and we go through, and I'm not saying that's the whole thing, but people struggle with this. And I think it's because they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're doing their own thing. And it's a tough walk. You know, God didn't call me to do certain things. But he has called me to do other things. And it's important that I find myself where the Lord wants me to be. In John chapter 6, 28 and 29, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." And you know, Jesus has said a lot of things to us. He's made a lot of promises to us. He said, "As the Father sent me into the world, so I'm sending you into the world." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations." He's given us these orders and everything. And if we do them, it's time that we step out. It's time that we do what the Lord has asked us to do. It's time to believe what he said. Did he really mean that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Yes. Did he really believe that?
Yes.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
Now, he said that we could do that.
Yes.
So we need to step out. We need to believe. We need to step out and do things. It may be uncomfortable. And maybe it doesn't seem to always work all the time. But we need to do what he asks us to do. And when we do that, we have to leave the results with him. But let's believe. Let's believe. Let's grab a hold of him. This is what he said that we could do. This is what he sent us out to do. So the secret is the believing. Believing. So how do we do that? How faith comes by the Word of God and the Word of God by, you know, so on and so forth. So we need to read the Word of God. We need to let it become a part of us. We need to have the eyes of our understanding open. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding so we can grasp your truth and learn to walk in it. Hallelujah. And then Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits." I believe God wants us to grow up and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And what's needed is not lifeless works, which cannot save, but faith directed toward God.
Amen.
Faith directed toward God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of us, we get in our thing here and we're not really growing like we should. And we find ourselves sinning and we keep coming back and repenting, you know, and then we go back and sin some more and then we get back and repent and we never seem to break out of that cycle. It's a cycle. And God says, you know, the writer of Hebrews here tells us, said, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Amen. It's time to get beyond that. Time to believe God, what He says. It's time to step out and believe that He will, you know. And Bruce is reading a great book, a wonderful book, Really Knowing Who You Are. Boy, I tell you, very important book. And, you know, these kind of things are really important. We need to grasp who we are. Who are we? We need to know who we are. So we got this race that we're running. It's an important race. And in order to really fulfill the plan and purpose of God in our lives, we need to be diligent about following this race. But He's given us help. Christ came, and He proclaimed words that we need to listen to. He proclaimed the message. He promised to be with us to the end of the age. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. He's given us people gifts. He's given us evangelists and pastors and teachers and all these ones. To help us, what? To prepare us for works of ministry. Yes. It's to prepare us, to cause us to grow up, so that we might not be tossed with every wind of doctrine that we hear. No, when I hear a message, I'm comparing that message with the Word of God. Yes. We need to know, is this on or is it off? You know? And the people that, what was it? Philippi? Anyway, one of these people. They were Thessalonica. They were more noble, Berea. They were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they heard the Word of God and checked it out. Made sure it worked okay. Make sure it was the right thing. They checked it out. So we need to know what God is saying. And I always, if somebody's preaching or somebody's teaching or whatever, I'm always, you know, it's like this computer's going here. You know, I'm comparing it with Scripture that I know. If you don't know Scripture, how are you going to know? Somebody could come up and put all kinds of untruth out there and you never know. It's garbage. So it is. It's garbage. And so we need to know. And how are we going to know? By knowing the book. By knowing the book. But God has given us evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, all these to help us. And He is faithful. We got the Old Testament examples. We can read what happened back there. Some people don't like to read the Old Testament. Ah, we're living in grace now. We can read the New Testament. You wouldn't believe how much good stuff is back there. You know, and when Christ referenced things back there, you know, it's important. It's important. There's something that we can learn from all of that. And you know, it's a whole lot better. A whole lot better. If we can learn from somebody else's mistakes so that we don't make the mistakes ourselves. I don't know about you, but you know, I don't like to get hurt. You know, I've had a couple times in my life here where I mean, it hurt. I think John could reflect on that too. Hurt. I think Bruce could reflect on that too. Some things happen, you know, sometimes. And it hurts. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go through that. I'm done with that. Forget it, you know? So we need to listen to the Word, apply it to our lives, grow, and I believe very definitely we need to enter the rest of God. Yes. The rest of God. There's a place. It's open for us. He wants us to walk in His rest. He wants us to enter His rest and walk in that. The work's already been done. Jesus did it all already. And it's all ready for us to walk in it. Hallelujah. But it takes belief to do that. These people in the Old Testament didn't enter it in because of unbelief. They kept complaining about this, complaining about that. Who do you think you are, leader? Even Aaron and Miriam got in a deal. You know, where they said, who do you think you are, Moses? All of us could, you know, any one of us could lead too. When it was all over, Miriam was white leprosy. And God let her sit outside the camp for 3 days to think about it before he healed her and brought her back into the camp. You know, we need to learn from these lessons. Okay? But let's learn this rest of God. Let's enter into this rest. And let's get past our little cycle of life that maybe we've been going around in circles some. And let us enter into perfection. Let's step out and grow into what God really wants us to grow to. Father, we commit ourselves to you tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just bring understanding to each one of our hearts. You speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, you do the work. I can't do it, but it's your work. So, Lord, I just pray that you would touch our hearts and that you would help us to grow, help us to learn our place, our position, our assignment. Help us to walk in that. Teach us, Lord, to spend time with you and to learn of you, for you are meek and lowly. And I pray, Lord, that you would just move mightily upon each one here tonight and draw us all close to you. Lord, we desire more of you. I thank you, Lord, for the music team that you have given to us here. It has been such a blessing, Lord. We can enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving and make it so simple and so easy and so beautiful, Lord, to enter into your presence. Lord, we cannot do anything without your presence. And I pray that you'd help us to learn to walk in your presence day by day by day. And Lord, be the people that you want us to be. You've called us to great things, Lord. And what you see in us is a whole lot bigger than what we see. So I pray that you'd give us the eyes to see and ears to hear from you and understanding, Lord, and wisdom, the spirit of wisdom also, Lord, that we might know what to do with what we've found out. Lord, just bless your people now. Be with us. We commit our ways into your hands right now. In Jesus' name, amen.